Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
It was in the mid-1960s in upstate New York that a special elite school opened its doors for the first time. This school was incredibly hard to get into. Not because you had to have amazing grades. Most of the students were average at best. Not because your parents had to be rich and powerful. In fact, most of the students came from middle or lower income homes, and their parents, generally speaking, were not powerful people. The kids, actually, were the powerful ones. In fact, they were super powerful. Some of them could shoot lasers out of their eyes. Others could control the weather. One of them had a mutant healing factor. Of course, I'm talking about Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, led by the legendary Professor Charles Xavier, aka Professor X. When he found a kid who had these superpowers, he would recruit them to his school. And once he got them there, he'd help them discover the full extent of their powers. He'd help them get better at controlling and therefore effectively using those powers. And then he would form them into a team. And together, the X-Men would go and fight all kinds of evil and save the day all over the world. Weirdly enough, it turns out the church works kind of like the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. When Christians are born again, we receive special powers. And as we figure them out and we get better at using them, we can take our place on the team and help carry out the mission of Jesus. We're in Romans chapter 12. We're going to dive in at verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, as in the church. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, this is the key idea we're going to talk about today, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Let's pray. Father, would you help us today to understand what these spiritual gifts are that you've given to the church in general? But Holy Spirit, we also invite you to be at work in our lives individually, helping us to understand the gifts that you've given us and calling us to use them for your mission and for your glory. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So you have a spiritual gift. That's news to some of you, but it's true. If you are part of the body of Christ, if you are a believer, if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have a spiritual gift. Appropriate day to talk about that, actually. For those of you who maybe come from a more liturgical tradition, you will know this is Pentecost Sunday. So why not talk about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives through these spiritual gifts? You have a spiritual gift. Okay, well, what is a spiritual gift? Great question. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered ability to do, this is a literal quote from the text, certain things well, that edify the body, as in the body of Christ, the church, and advance the kingdom. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered ability to do certain things well that edify the body and advance the kingdom. Well, okay, but like, what are they? That's a good question, too. You're asking amazing questions today. It's been very helpful. There are a bunch of different lists of gifts in Scripture. None of them are the same. Even when Paul lists gifts, various places, he gives different lists everywhere. Includes stuff like administration, apostleship, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, interpretation, knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, shepherding, prophecy, service, teaching, tongues, wisdom. But these are all given as examples. They're not meant to be an exhaustive list. It's kind of a for example, like even in this passage, right? When Paul gets going on here, right? He says, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. You could very easily insert right here. So for example, if God has given you the ability, and then he just lists off a random handful of gifts, right? It's not meant to be exhaustive. You cannot exhaust the creativity of God. There are all kinds of spiritual gifts. There's lists of them in Scripture, but I believe there are gifts beyond that. For example, my wife has a spiritual gift that I don't see anywhere in Scripture. She has a spiritual gift, I kid you not, of dealing with bureaucracy. It is the wildest thing. A couple years ago, I bought a brand new lathe, and within a few days of having it, the control module on it broke. You don't have to understand what a lathe is or the control module. Just follow along. I bought a thing and it broke. So I emailed the customer service of the company that makes this lathe, and I said, hey, here's the issue. I didn't hear anything back. Not even like a, we've received your email. So I waited a few days and I emailed again, and nothing. It was right around Christmas time, so I tried to be gracious. I gave them, you know, I didn't expect them to write back on Christmas Day. But I waited till a few days after Christmas. It's an American company, so I figured they don't even have Boxing Day. They should be back in the office. So I started calling their customer service line and leaving a message. And again, no one would ever pick up. I would never get a response back. I would never even get like a, you know, your call is important to us. We'll get back to you in a week. Nothing. This went on for like day after day after day. And finally, my wife started going, do you want me to call him? I said, Kelly, you don't have a different phone number than I do. Well, I'll just talk to them. Kelly, they don't return the call. Okay, well, if you want me to call them, let me know. So I carried on just doing this for another few days, and finally she offers again, you want me? If you want, I could. I was like, fine, if you want to. So I'm down in the shop. I text her the phone number. I get a text back from her about 5 minutes later. She says, in 2 minutes, your phone will ring. Pick it up. It is the vice president of the company. I kid you not. Bring! Hello. Hey, I'm Dave. I'm the vice president of Rycon. I feel sorry for what's going on. Look, do you want a whole new lathe or just the new control module? Now you go, how does that edify the body and advance the kingdom? It edified me. But I've seen that gift at work in ministry context, and it is uncanny. The last big project that she did for our church before we left Halifax was to lead the sponsorship of a refugee family from Iran. Amazing people. I don't have time to tell you the story. Gave their lives to Christ, were being chased by the government. It was a whole thing. She worked with a lady from the Baptist church, the Baptist denominational kind of headquarters, whose whole thing was refugee sponsorship. That's all she does, all day, every day. She's a professional refugee sponsorizer. And she would say to Kelly, now you're going to submit this paperwork, and in 6 months, you'll hear back what they don't like about your paperwork. And then you'll have to redo it, and you'll send it back in, and then 4 months later, they'll approve it. Kelly'd go, okay. She'd fill out the paperwork and send it in, and 2 weeks later, they'd go, this is great, perfect, good job. This woman said legitimately, she has never seen a sponsorship application go faster or more smoothly. Now, what spiritual gift is that? Well, it's administration. It's more than administration. It's prophecy. Well, I guess maybe she called into being the acceptance of the paper. I don't know. I don't think it's listed in Scripture. The list of gifts we see in Scriptures are examples. They're not meant to be exhaustive. So you have a spiritual gift, maybe one that's clearly mentioned in Scripture, maybe one that's a little more unique. But God has given each of us different gifts. Each part of the body has a special function. If you are filled with the Spirit, if you are part of the body, you have a spiritual gift. Maybe several, but definitely one. So, congratulations, you are a mutant, you have a special ability. That's a reference back to the X-Men thing for somebody who thinks they just got insulted. Now what? What do you do? Well, first thing you got to do is discover it. Discover it. Okay, how do I discover my spiritual gift? Well, there's tests you can do, spiritual gifts tests. We'll talk more about one at the end. They're not definitive, though. Like, it's not like a blood test, you know what I mean? It's not like, yeah, well, you've tested positive for apostleship. Like, that's not how it works. But it can help you think things through. It can help kind of narrow in your focus. You can take advantage of some wise counsel. Like, talk to people who know you and know ministry and go, like, what do you see in me? What do you think I might be good at? What have you observed, right? People who can see you might be able to see things in you that you can't see. But here's the thing, guys. The most effective and the only definitive way to discover your spiritual gifts is to do stuff. Like, you actually just have to do stuff. Jump in somewhere and start doing stuff that edifies the body and advances the kingdom and see how it goes. Eventually, you will hit on something that you go, oh man, this, I'm wildly effective at this. Like, this just kind of seems to work when I do this. So try some different roles, some different responsibilities. See what you discover. Those tests that you can do actually become way more accurate when you've already done a bunch of stuff. If you go to someone and say, like, what do you think I'm good at in ministry? And they go, bro, you have never done a moment of ministry in your life. I don't know, right? But if you've been doing a bunch of stuff, they can go, actually, I've noticed when you do this, when you connect with these types of folks, when you have these types of response, it really seems to go very well. Like, it's beyond just you work hard and do your best. God has somehow anointed you to do that. So jump in and serve somewhere. Think about it like this. Imagine an angel appeared in your bedroom tonight, and he said to you, I have good news. God has made you amazing at a sport. And then left. Like, well, how am I going to find out what sport it is? Well, you could ask your friends, like, what sport do you think I might be good at? Right? Or you could, I don't know, is there a test? Like, I'm sure somewhere online you can find, like, which is the right sport for you? Like, there's some listicle about that somewhere. But you know what you would do? You just go try a bunch of sports, right? To figure it out. Like, and you go, okay, if I'm wearing this jersey, it's definitely not hockey. Longtime Leafs fan. That's how I know. I haven't watched a game since middle school, but I've said if they ever make it to the Stanley Cup, I'll watch. And I haven't watched since middle school. You know, you try some stuff, right? You'd grab a basketball and you'd take a few shots, and if you airballed all of them, you wouldn't go, I'm a horrible person and there's no point. You'd go, no, okay, that's just not it. But I know for sure I'm good at something, so I'm just going to, and eventually you might be like, dude, who knew it was croquet? I am a killer croquet player. But you wouldn't be all, I'm not good. You'd just go, I know I'm good at something. I'm just going to keep trying stuff till I find it. Listen, on the authority of God's word, you are really good at something that matters to edify the body and advance the kingdom. Just keep trying stuff until you find it. The best thing you could do is try a bunch of sports. The best thing you can do is jump in and serve somewhere and try some different things. The best way to discover your spiritual gifts, here it is, serve and observe. Serve and observe. Serve somewhere and see how it goes. Serve somewhere and invite observations from people who can see what you're doing. Whoever's leading that ministry, whoever the pastor is that's in charge, whoever the person is that recruited you to join their team, serve and observe. You serve, observe for yourself, invite other people's observations. You have a spiritual gift, and it is your responsibility to discover it. Say this with me. I have a spiritual gift.
I have a spiritual gift.
Halifax, louder. I have a spiritual gift. All right, so once you discover it, you need to develop it. Your spiritual gift does not arrive in peak form. It can be honed, it can be refined, it can get stronger. You need to develop it. You can get better at using your spiritual gift. I think that's why Paul goes like, hey, if you're a teacher, like, teach really well. If your gift is giving, be like generous at it. He's going like, do really good at the thing you God has gifted you to do. Don't just kind of do wherever you started at. Step up, keep moving, keep advancing, get better at what it is, lean into it, work hard at it, figure out how to use it effectively. Figure out how to do your part of using that gift. See, your spiritual gift goes beyond you, but it does go through you. So you can get better at doing the thing God has empowered you to do. You can get better at your part. Okay, so how do you do that? Like, practically, how do you develop your spiritual gift? Well, the ways you develop your spiritual gift are as varied as your spiritual gift could be. Like, if you have the gift of prophecy, and this person over here has the gift of administration, practically what you're going to do to get better are probably kind of different things. But there are some core stuff. Here's the most important one. You ready? Make sure you have a character that can support your charism. Charism is the Latin word for gift. It's where we get the word, Greek word for gift. It's where we get the word charismatic from. Make sure you have a character, as in your moral character, your integrity, your relationship with God, that can support the gift he's given you. Make sure you have a character that can support your charism. The gifts of the Spirit are not a substitute for the fruit of the Spirit. Having the gift of tongues is not a substitute for love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. I don't care how strong of a leader you are. If you are unloving and unmerciful and ungentle, you are a mess. And all your gift is going to do is make the implosion more damaging. The more gifted you are, the more character you have to make sure you are fostering and developing and leaning into. So the number one thing you can do to develop your charism is actually to continue to work on your character. And don't substitute the strength of the gift God has given you for your spiritual maturity. Yes. Those are not the same. Some very gifted people I've met are very spiritually weak. They have a strong gift, but a weak character. Make sure you have a character that can support your charism. You can talk to people who have the same gift as you and seek wisdom. Like if you're good at it and you know they're good at it, if it's your spiritual gift and you know it's their spiritual gift, but they've been doing it a lot longer than you, go, hey, share some wisdom with me. Share some insight. Again, serve and observe. Invite feedback from other people. But here's the second most important thing you can do after the character piece. You just got to get your reps in. When I was very young, starting out as a preacher, this was about 19 years ago, I sat down with Pastor John. And I said, Pastor John, you're a great preacher. I want to be a great preacher. How do I get better at preaching? And Pastor John kind of looked at me and he said some stuff that I've completely forgotten and he's completely forgotten because it wasn't actually very helpful. Like he was just trying to make up some, I don't know, like be diligent in your blah, blah. I don't remember what he said, neither does he. And then he just kind of looked at me and he said, AJ, you have to do it a lot. Like you just have to get your reps in. There's no substitute for just doing it. Like, if you want to get better at something, you've got to do it. I'm a becoming a little bit of a gym rat, and I watch a lot of YouTube videos, trying to learn how to get better, right? So what's proper form? What's proper diet? How do you set up the proper split? How much rest day? All this kind of. I watch a lot of that stuff. I learn a lot of stuff that way. But you know, if I never actually turn off YouTube and get myself over to Fit for Less, I'm never going to get stronger. By the way, Pastor Zach over at West, I really want to thank you. Pastor Zach goes to the same gym as I do, and he helped me get this picture of myself earlier this week. I was trying to hold, and it wasn't. And he was like, "Here, I got your back." I was like, "Thank you so much." So, thank you, Pastor Zach. Such a huge help. And yeah, but if you never actually just go and lift, you won't get stronger. You can study it. You can hang out with other gym people, but if you don't just go pick it up, put it down, pick it up, put it down, like you have to get your reps in. If you want to get better in ministry, the best thing you can do is just get serving. Get your reps in. You have a spiritual gift, and it is your responsibility to develop it. Say, my gift can get stronger. It can. It really can. My gift can get stronger. All right, so you've discovered it. You've developed it. Now you have to deploy it. You are called to use your gift. Now, the good news is you already started when you were discovering and developing, right? Because we already established. You just got to jump in and start doing stuff. But you got to keep at it because here's the thing about your spiritual gift. It's not actually yours. It doesn't belong to you. It was not given to you for you. A spiritual gift is not a special ability empowered by the Holy Spirit to make you happier, right? Or even to bring you closer to Jesus. It's to edify the body and advance the kingdom. That's why it was given to you, not to entertain you, not to amuse you. So on behalf of the church and the rest of the world, You have our gift. Give it to us. It was given to you to give to us. Use it. Use it for its intended purpose. Oh, Pastor AJ, are you saying I have like an obligation to use my spiritual gift? Well, that depends on your maturity level. Mature people tend to get joy more out of giving than getting. Mature people understand that generosity is joy. Mature people want to build something beautiful rather than just hoard stuff that they think is valuable. See, the difference between obligation and opportunity often comes down to attitude. Let me say that again. The difference between obligation, oh, I get to, and opportunity, yay, I get to, often comes down to attitude. So if you have an immature attitude, then I guess, yes, you are obligated to use your gift to edify the body and advance the kingdom. Poor you. But if you have this same attitude that was in Christ Jesus, you have an amazing opportunity to use your spiritual gift to edify the body and advance the kingdom. You have an incredible opportunity. You get to use your spiritual gifts to be part of things that will matter for all eternity. You get to be a part of seeing lives changed and relationships restored and captives set free and lonely people loved. You get to be a part of God's work in this world. Not because you are so incredible, but because he has given you the tools you need to play your part in the plan he has. But here's the cool thing. This is so amazing. God is so good that he has set it up so that you actually get way more out of your gift when you give it away. Yes. Like if you go, man, I wish I benefited from my gift a little bit, try giving it away. There is fun and fulfillment and meaning and joy and blessing and growth in deploying your spiritual gift. I always feel closest to God. I always feel the most in step with the Spirit when I am giving away the gifts that he has given me. If you've ever gone on a missions trip and were like, man, this was the most spiritually intense week of my life, it's because your whole week revolved around giving away what he's given to you. I always feel closest to God and most in step with his Spirit when I'm giving away the gift he's given me. Anybody else here ever found that true? Is that just a weird AJ thing? All right, cool. You have a spiritual gift and it is your responsibility to give it to others. Say, I get to give this gift to others. All right, so let's recap. You have a spiritual gift and it's your responsibility to discover it. Say, I have a spiritual gift. You have a spiritual gift and it is your responsibility to develop it. Say, my gift can get stronger. You have a spiritual gift and it's your opportunity to deploy it. Say, I get to give this gift to others. And finally, you get to delight in it. People seem to have this sense. There's like this internal thing that people just can't seem to shut off where they need to rank the spiritual gifts. Like there's some sort of weird spiritual gift hierarchy. So here at the top are the ones that God gave to like the people he likes the most, or the people who like him the most, or the people who are the coolest or whatever. And then down here, like the okay gifts, like they serve a purpose, but they're not as cool. And then there's like these bottom rank of gifts that I think everybody secretly has, and they're just kind of junky gifts. And how we rank them depends a lot on, I think, our temperament and our kind of church tradition. Like people who come from a charismatic background want all the signs and wonders gifts, right? The more wowser-dowser it is, healings and prophecy and tongues, those are the good ones, right? If you're really insecure, you probably want the in front of a crowd gifts, right? I just need to be up there. If everyone was staring at me, I'd finally feel okay, you know? So I want to be able to teach or preach or lead worship or whatever, right? As an aside, do you know what kind of people wish they had the gift and the position of leadership? In here it says leadership is a gift in the passage we just read. Do you know what kind of people want that? Do you know what kind of people want to be in charge? Idiots and psychopaths. Idiots and psychopaths. The spiritually mature are willing to lead, And they will take, even I love how, like, if you're a teacher, teach well. If you're given, give generously. If you're a leader, like, take it seriously, dude. It's just, you can just feel this little tone shift, right? Idiots and psychopaths. Idiots because they have no idea the amount of weight and the amount of pain that comes into your life when you step into a position of leadership. And psychopaths because they have some sort of self-serving scheme for domination and they need power in order to accomplish it. Can I tell you, church, I've been here almost a year now. I love being at a church that is led by Pastor Brent Ingersoll. He is a man of God. He stays in step with the Spirit. He challenges us to grow. He keeps us on track. He's very skilled as an organizer and a visionary and a mobilizer. So many good things about being part of a church that's led by Pastor Brent Ingersoll. But you know what my favorite thing is about being part of a church that's led by Pastor Brent? It means I don't have to lead it. Like, the best thing about him being in the big chair is it means I don't have to sit in the big chair. I spent a lot of my life in that chair. I'm blessed of God when he said, I need you to sit down the hall further. I was like, yes, Lord. Put me in the basement, Jesus. I want two flights of stairs between me and that level of responsibility, Lord. In the kingdom, great leaders are willing, but they are not eager. It's more of a but for the joy set before him kind of a thing. All right, back to this hierarchy thing. Paul says that the church is like a physical body, right? We're all different parts of that body. Let me ask you this. What is the most important organ in the human body? Yeah, most people will say heart first. But I mean, what good is your heart without lungs? You can pump all the blood you want. If it's not oxygenated, you're going to die, right? Okay, well, maybe it's like a heart and lungs combo. Okay, where's the brain? I tell you what, you can have an amazing heart and incredible lungs. If I remove your brain, they're not going to work very long. Here's the truth of the matter. There is no most important organ in the human body. They're all necessary. There is no appendix in the body of Christ, right? So which is the most important spiritual gift? Is it administration, apostleship, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, healing gifts, giving, interpretation, knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, shepherding, prophecy, service, teaching, tongues, wisdom? There is no most important gift. They are all necessary. They are all required. Okay, well, it's brain and heart and lungs then. Okay, do you know what the biggest organ in the human body is? Skin. So it's amazing. You have a brilliant brain and a perfectly healthy heart and two wonderful lungs and no skin. How's that going to work out for you? There is no most important organ in the human body. And in the same way, there is no most important or least important part of the body of Christ. What organ, back to leaders, what organ do you think leaders are? Some people would say the head. No, Christ is the head, so that's the brain part. Yeah, that's covered. Well, they're the heart. Well, not really, right? Sometimes they're not either. They shouldn't be the middle of everything, and they're also often not the most, like, gentle people. That's kind of not always part of the job. I think they're the colon. Because they deal with so much crap. Let me come at this another way. Just, I think this is going to be helpful for some people if you can get your head around this. I love camp ministry, like summer camp. So important, so good. In fact, my son Isaac is right now at Catons Island here. If you're looking for a great summer camp to send your kid to this summer, that's a great one to send him to. I've done a lot of different jobs at camp. I've been a camp counselor. I've been a camp director. I've been a camp speaker. And if you ask people to rank the jobs that happen at a summer camp, a lot of them would take those three and rank them in that exact order. Like, anyone can be a counselor, really, and then director, but ooh, the speaker, right? I'm good at those jobs in the exact reverse order. The last time I was a camp counselor was at Catons Island. And about 2 days after I got home from camp, me and every kid in my cabin received a letter saying, you are not welcome to come back to the island next year. These kids were feral. They had set up booby traps, they had barbed wire and sharpened stakes and this giant pontoon that would swing down. Like, if the Russians invaded our cabin, we were going to be fine. There just would have been a ring of dead communists and a perfectly happy cabin. And I had no idea. Like, I thought they'd filled up a couple of water balloons in case someone came. Like, I'm horrible at being a camp counselor. Now, I've been a camp director, and there was less chaos when I was the director. And then I can speak. That's fine. That's great. I can do that all day long. But I have no business being a camp counselor. And there's a lot of camp counselors who probably don't have any business being the director or the speaker. I can't do what they do. They can't do what I do. Like, the cook probably wouldn't be the best person. I mean, maybe in some rare cases, but typically the person who's the right camp cook is not the right camp speaker. I'll tell you what, this camp speaker, if I cook, we're all getting food poisoning. It's Baconator time all over again, right? That's called a callback. But all of those jobs are really important, right? Like, who's going to share the word with these kids? It doesn't matter if they're all hungry. They won't pay attention, right? Who's going to organize the whole program? Doesn't matter if there's no one chasing them around, making sure they get to the stuff, right? So we should all just do what God made us good at, right? If you are sitting in the rink complaining that you never get to score any points, and that's because you're sitting in the stands, it's time for you to lace up your skates and get on the ice. But if it's because you're the goalie, dummy, you are super important. That part just isn't your job. So if I play my position well and you play your position well, we will win games, and that's what matters. You have a spiritual gift, and it is a great gift. You have a part to play in the body of Christ, and it is a great part. Well, I don't think I'm the heart or the lungs or the brain. I think I'm just the liver. The liver does awesome stuff. If you don't believe me, ask my friend Nick. He's had three of them, and they've all been terrible, and it has messed up his life. Your gift is great, and God will use it to edify the body and advance the kingdom. Somebody here needs to hear this. Not only do you have a great gift, it's the right gift. This stuff isn't random. Like, the same department in heaven that hands out callings, they coordinate with the department that hands out gifts. They don't get their wires crossed, right? They didn't go like, you're called to do this and you're gifted to do something completely other. You have the gifting you need to accomplish your part in the calling God has put on you. Your gift doesn't make you better than anyone else, like he talked about at the beginning, but it does make you just as valuable as everyone else. So if you're walking around going, I got one of the good gifts, you need to humble yourself. And if you're walking around going, I just got this garbage gift. No, 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 dude. Every bit is important. Every bit is important. It's appropriate to love having your spiritual gift. It's appropriate to love using your spiritual gift. So take delight in who God has gifted you to be and get out there and serve hard and make an impact and edify the body and advance the kingdom and have a ton of fun, unless you're a leader. In which case, I don't know, keep your head up, champ. We're all behind you. All of us, except the idiots and the psychopaths, are very content to be behind you. So you have a spiritual gift, and it's awesome, so take delight in it. Say, it's a great gift.
It's a great gift.
All right, let's get super practical here in our remaining moments. What is the next step for you in all this? Well, if you need to discover your spiritual gift, I want to invite you. One of the things you can do is take this spiritual gifts test. This is one of the best ones I've ever seen. It's called SHAPE. It will talk you through your spiritual gifts, but it also takes into account your heart, your experiences, your passions, all this kind of stuff. It is a great resource so that you can go to the QR code there and you'll find it. And when you're done taking this test, it will actually give you a list of current volunteer opportunities. This is at all of our sites. This works everywhere. When you finish it, it'll go, hey, here's some great places you could plug in that we have opportunities to serve. So you could do the spiritual gifts test. I'll give you a second. You good? All right, it'll come back up again later. I would encourage you to go through Growth Track. Growth Track is a simple, easy-to-do online program that gets you more familiar with King's Church, who we are, what we believe, what our mission is. We encourage everyone to go through Growth Track. If you're a part of King's, We encourage you to go through Growth Track if you never have. But the last step there is it will share, again, a list of serving opportunities with you and help you get plugged into one of those. So that's Growth Track. I don't know if your phone's going to be able to cope with this, but I'll leave those two up. Make sure you aim well. Otherwise, you could wind up accidentally doing a spiritual gifts test when you meant to do Growth Track. And whoa, wouldn't that be horrible? Pretty low risk. Do them both. So you need to discover your gift. That's a great place to start, but also get involved. Do you need to develop your gift, right? Do you need to figure out ways to lean in and be intentional, to serve and observe? Again, invite feedback from leaders and those who have the same gifts around you. Just have the humility to go, like, what do you think I'm good at? That's not an arrogant question to ask. It's a theological fact that you're good at something. So you're not going like, just tell me about how awesome I am. The Lord has decided you are awesome at something. You just need to figure out what it is. What do you think my gifts are? That's a great question to ask people who you serve with if you don't know the answer to that already. But you could also get some more formal ministry training. We just graduated my first class from King's Academy this week. And I want you to know, for those of you who are in, say, Charlottetown, Halifax, those of you in St. Stephen and West, like, there is a remote option available for this. If you're West or even maybe St. Stephen, you might drive. We have students who did that this year. But particularly if you're in Halifax, it's a bit of a commute. But you could be like Bhavna and Mark, who went through the program this year remotely. You can do it entirely remotely. There's a biblical and theological kind of framework that we'll set up for you. We'll give you a bunch of training and practical ministry skills. You can go to kingsacademy.cc, kingsacademy.cc. There you go, kingsacademy.cc, and find out more about that. That might be a next step for you to take in developing that gift. Do you need just to get moving on deploying your gift? Well, again, maybe you just need to get going at all. Cool, sign up for something, what we talked about before. But maybe God is calling you to take a deeper step. Maybe you've already done Growth Track, but you're serving somewhere and you have a sense of what your gifts are, but you feel like God's going, like, I've got more for you to do. I got a little more gift to give through you to the church. Maybe he's going, hey, I want you to step into a leadership role. And you're going, did you hear what AJ just said, Lord? Perfect. That's the exact attitude I want you to have. All right. If that's what you're asking of me, God, I will make that sacrifice. Talk to a ministry leader. Talk to the location pastor at your site. And just say, hey, what do you think is next for me? How can I take another step here? But maybe you just need to get excited about the gift God has given you. Just delight in it. Maybe you didn't know it was okay to just be really stoked to have the gift you have and really enjoy using it. And you just need to say, God, thank you for what you've gifted me to do and for the place in the body that you've put me. And that I get to have fun being good at stuff that edifies the body and advances the kingdom and will matter forever. Thank you, God. You are so good. All right, so one more time. You have a spiritual gift and it's your responsibility to discover it. Say, I have a spiritual gift.
I have a spiritual gift.
You have a spiritual gift and it's your responsibility to develop it. Say, my gift can get stronger.
My gift can get stronger.
You have a spiritual gift and it's your opportunity to deploy it. Say, I get to give this gift to others.
I get to give this gift to others.
You have a spiritual gift and it's awesome. So delight in it. Say, it's a great gift.
It's a great gift.
Let's pray. Father, thank you that in your infinite wisdom, you have gifted us to do exactly what it is you have for us to do. Thank you that there is no appendix or tonsils in the body of Christ, that we have an important role to fill. God, would you set us free from some silly notion of hierarchy, that there's good gifts and bad gifts, or important gifts and unimportant gifts? Just help us to realize, God, that the way you put your body together with infinite wisdom means that all of us have an absolutely pivotal role to play. For those of us who have no clue what our gifts are, God, would you help us to discover them? Would you help us all to continue to develop them? Would you make us faithful to deploy them? And God, would you help us to get better at taking delight in using them? To see ministry as a fun thing we get to do, not some religious duty we feel we have to fulfill. So much of our day-to-day lives, God, are consumed with things that won't matter in 10 years or 20 years or 100 years. Thank you that you invite us to be a part of things that will matter for absolutely all of eternity. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.